The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com. Good morning. All right, let's take our Bibles today, and you should have a copy of the notes for the message as well. If you take your Bibles to Acts, turn to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2, I am looking forward to our meeting after our church this morning. We share a meal and then just go into our meeting. And the business meeting is important, as my dad shared, but it's even more than that. We like to set this day aside, not only to talk about the budget and the things like that, but to really, as a church, renew our focus, renew our vision, and see where is it that we sense the direction and the leading of the Lord in our lives. You know, the psalmist, or in the book of Proverbs, the writer said that without a vision, the people perish. Have you heard that passage of scripture before? Without a vision, the people perish. Now, specifically and appropriately, that vision that he's talking about, where does that vision come from? Do you know? That vision that he's speaking about is the word of the prophet. It's the vision that comes from the word of God. And so our goal and our prayer and our aim is that as a church, our vision would be clear. Our vision would be focused. Our eye would be single. We would be determined. And we would not take our eyes off the author and the finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. And with that, I just would like to share with you this morning, I was just wrestling with what message to preach on this Vision Sunday. There were a couple of two different passages or two different themes that I wanted to talk about. But the Lord kept bringing me back to three spiritual emphases for 2018. And I just, my dad and I were talking about this year of ministry and what the Lord has for us here. And we've looked back on just how God has blessed our church. Is it not a privilege to be part of a local Bible-believing church? It's just an awesome thing to be a part of. It's nothing like any club, any business, any organization. It's something special to be part of the family of God called out in the local New Testament church. I mean, it's awesome. There are some people that look at being a member of a church as a duty or an obligation or something that will be expected of them. And while sure there are aspects of that that are true, the truth of the matter is, being a member of a local body of Christ is an awesome privilege. And it's a joy and it's an exciting journey to be part of God's mission for reaching the world. God's mission for building families, strengthening people's lives. And so I look back, and I invite you to look back with me this morning to the early church, where it all got started. And usually, you know from my preaching that I like to take a passage of scripture and preach through it. This morning we're not going to do that. We're going to look at a lot of different scriptures today, but you're going to see how they all tie into a theme from Acts chapter 2, verse number 41. So I'd encourage you to have a pen or a pencil ready, have your notes ready, and be eagerly engaged as we look at the Word of God this morning. Chapter number 2, verse number 41, describing the beginning stages of this wonderful thing we know as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says this in verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. If there was a time in your life when you gladly received the word of God, can you say amen? Amen. If there was a time that you were baptized, can you say amen? Amen. Amen. That's the local church. They gladly received his word. They were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now look at their practice. And they continued how? Go ahead, you can say it. How'd they continue? Okay, so if you would with me, everyone in your Bibles or on your handout, we're looking at chapter number 2. We're looking at verse number 42. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And they continued how? In the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Would you read out loud with me verse number 47 together? Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. I pray that you'd help me this morning. I need your grace. I need your power. We need your presence in the room. Lord, we need you to give us a vision of your will for us, your plan for us. We need to see your word as not as ancient, not as something to be studied, but something to be applied, something to live, and something to change our lives. So God, we pray together this morning that you'd help us, that you'd move us, that you'd motivate us. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As you look at the early church, there are certain identifying marks. There are things that they did all of the time together, and because of that, God's great power and presence was active among them. Would you like the power and presence of God active in your life today? Would you like the power and presence of God to be active in our midst, in our local church? What we're talking about is we're talking about families being strengthened. We're talking about people's lives being encouraged, being built up. We're talking about people being added daily, such as should be saved. That is the picture of a church that is experiencing the power and the presence of God. There were a lot of things that went on in the midst of all of that. One thing they did in here that you may have noticed is that they did a lot of eating together. Come on now, somebody like that, right? They did a lot of breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So we're going to do a little bit of that today in just a little while. I walked in this morning around 7:30 to get here early, and I opened that downstairs door, and like maybe some of you, when you walked in, just, you know what I'm talking about, Bill? Oh yeah, that Brother Jim had got up early, and he started cooking that roast beef. And man, that just about knocked me over. And we didn't even get Sunday school started, and he said, it's ready. So you're all like, well, what are we still doing up here? Well, you just got to stick with me for a couple more minutes, all right? The church was unified. The church was together. They ate together. They fellowshiped together. They shared in one another's lives. If they had ladies' conferences in the early church, I think as many ladies as possible would have said, yeah, I'm going to go be a part of that. I want to get involved on that. I think if they had a special event, I think if something was going on, the church said, yeah, I'm going to be a part of that because this is my church. This is my family. This is where God is doing something. But there are three emphases that I want to point out, and my hope and prayer is that you would catch this vision, that we could take these three simple points that I want to speak about this morning that were hallmarks of the early church, and if we could this year as a vision just remember three simple statements to see the Lord lead us into the rest of 2018. And those three simple emphases that you find in Acts chapter number 2, the church was a church of prayer, the church was a church of praise, and the church was all about reaching people. Simple three words to align our focus: prayer, praise, and people. Is that easy enough? You with me? Yeah, we're good with that. So what are the three things we want to focus on? What are they? Prayer, praise, and people. Prayer, praise, and people. You find that in the scripture there. So let's get right into the notes this morning. Oh, to God that this year our church would say we're going to be a church that focuses on three simple things. As we follow the word of God, as we engage in all the things we're called to do, let our focus be about prayer. Let our focus be about praising the name of the Lord our God, and let our purpose be about the people that God has given us to minister, to love, and to serve. So, let's talk about prayer. My dad preached on prayer a few weeks ago, and the Lord spoke to my heart about that. Do you know that our church has seen multiple answers to prayer just in the last few years? It was about a year and a half ago as we were preparing for a a special meeting with evangelist Chris Chavez. We were preparing for our Christian Life Conference. A group of men and ladies dedicated themselves for about a week before those meetings to gather together each morning at 6 in the morning to gather together and pray. And we prayed. And then after that, once a week for a number of months, we gathered together and we prayed. There are people in the room today that we prayed for, that were going through struggles and trials and difficulties, that today are walking with the Lord continuing. I mean, I'm not going to do it, but I could call out names in the room today of people whose prayers have been answered because God's people met and prayed for them. Not just in those meetings, you understand, but because God's people prayed. We prayed specifically that God would send a new family to our church. It was a month later that Travis and Sarah Ouellette walked in the door of Mount Greylock Baptist Church. I mean, we prayed for it. God answered the prayers. Just recently, my dad was sharing, and we didn't share this with the church, but we're talking about a business meeting later on today, but just recently, we went through about a month here at the church where if you were paying attention to the bulletin, that we were not meeting our budget at all. I mean, not even close for a whole month. And so he mentioned to me that he made it a matter of prayer. God, answer this prayer. Meet the need. And wouldn't you know, the very last week of the quarter, the entire budget was made up in the one offering at the end. Do you believe that God is in the business of answering prayer? I mean, he answers prayer. We could go around the room and you could tell your story. I was encouraged that I heard just some of the stories from my wife about people, ladies that encouraged each other at the ladies' conference and gave testimony about how God had worked in their life and what God had done for them and how he had brought them to the place where they're at and just testimony to his faithfulness. God is in the business of answering prayers if his people who are called by his name will humble themselves and seek his face and pray. And if we want to see God do greater things, I mean, I do not exaggerate when I say it is a privilege to serve in and among this church. I praise the Lord that I've been, for almost 13 years now, I've had the opportunity to be assistant pastor, now co-pastor, and for the Lord to allow me to be here. What a privilege. And you ought to say what a privilege it is for you to be a part of this church. But if we want to see God do greater things, and I'm thankful particularly for the Spirit among the body of Christ. We talk about it, my dad and I talk about it all the time. Throughout the course of the history and life of our church, there have been times there's been a wonderful Spirit. There have been times that there's not been a wonderful Spirit. But we thank the Lord for going on 2, maybe 3 years now, there has been a tremendous Spirit of unity and love among God's people. And it's a blessing. But the devil would like nothing more than to come in and to begin to pull that down one piece at a time. But it's prayer that was the power of the early church. It was prayer that sustained them. It's prayer that continues to sustain the persecuted church around the world. Jesus said, and you have it on your handout, in the Gospel of Mark, also in Matthew, and I believe in Luke as well, this passage is given. It's right before he purged the temple. Mark 11, verse number 17, and he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations, go ahead, say it with me, the house of prayer. May this house, the house of God's people, be known as a house of prayer. Special prayer meetings, Wednesday night prayer meetings. Listen, we have had some wonderful Wednesday nights for months now. Wonderful times of Bible study, wonderful times of prayer. I want to encourage you, the devil will do everything he can to say, hey, there's just too much going on for you to make it to prayer meeting. The devil will do everything he can to say, hey, there's just too much for you to go to that special prayer meeting that might be called, or go to this or go to that. Every attack will come up against. But if you have a vision, say, wait, it's important. It's essential. Let this be a place of prayer. Why? Well, first of all, if you're going to follow along and jot this down, because prayer invites the power of God. Quickly turn to a few passages with me. Prayer invites the power of God. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 14. We're going to look at a lot of scripture, and I'm going to do it pretty quickly because I know you all want to get down to lunch just as much as me. So look at verse number 14. Ready? These all continued with one accord in what? Prayer. and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. They're waiting. Jesus said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. They waited for him in prayer. Go just a page over, at least in my Bible, maybe in yours too, and see what happens as they've been waiting in prayer. You come to chapter number 2, look at verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They've continued to do the same thing since Jesus left. They've continued to have the same purpose. They stayed together. And much of what they were doing was staying together in prayer. And suddenly, verse number 2, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The early church experienced the power of God as they waited in prayer for God to do something. Every revival that you study about in the history of mankind began with people waiting in patient, fervent prayer for a work of God among his people. You say, I would love to see revival in America. I would love to see an awakening in our midst. Are we praying for it? Are we asking God for it? You might say, well, but that's the day of Pentecost. That's a special situation. No, the practice continued. In fact, turn over to chapter number 4 and look how the early church prayed for the power of God here. Now, it's not all super exciting. In fact, they've experienced some persecutions. They're being beaten for preaching the gospel. They've come up against some opposition. Their culture, you know, they weren't watching Christian programming on television. If anything, everything was coming up against them. And it says in verse number 29 of chapter number 4, they pray to the Lord. And in the middle of their prayer, they say to God, and this we're picking up the middle of the prayer, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Verse 31, and when they had, what's it say? And when they had prayed, the place was what? Shaken. Is it possible that as we pray, we invite the power of God, it may just shake us out of our complacency? Have you ever found yourself to be complacent? Do you know what I mean by that? I mean to say, well, I go to church, and my kids are in Sunday school, and I give my tithe, and I do this, and I do that, but where is the power of God? Well, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of opposition, the disciples, the apostles, they didn't say, well, I guess it's time to quit. I guess it's time to back down. I guess it's time to do something different. No, they said, God, we invite your power to come into our life. Do you struggle? Do you have temptations you're battling? Are you tired? Are you weary? Are you praying for the power of God in your life? Prayer invites the power of God, we see from the early church. But secondly, prayer also expands the work of the ministry. We're not going to turn to all these passages. You've got them there. In Acts chapter 6, the apostles said, there is so much work to do. There are so many people to feed. There are widows to feed. There are responsibilities to take care of. And the apostles said, we can't be so busy doing all of this work. We need to find other people to do it so that we can give ourselves to the word and to prayer. And so they said, let's find men who can be in charge of this. But the prayer didn't stop there. As soon as they found those first deacons, as soon as they found those first men, do you know what they did with those men? What did they do together? They prayed. They prayed. And in that passage, immediately after the prayer and the release of those men, the ministry expanded and the church grew and multiplied even more. Why? Because God's people prayed. It invited the power of God and it expanded the work of the ministry among them. Also, in Acts chapter 13, you find a church prayer meeting. You talk about expanding and the work of God spreading. In Acts chapter 13, the church is all gathered together in Antioch and they're praying together. Some of you are turning there, and I told you you didn't need to. That's great, though. You're going to check out that I'm telling the truth. So turn away. Turn ahead. That's fine. The church is all gathered together in Acts chapter 13, and they are praying. And in the middle of their prayer, do you know what happens while they're praying? The Spirit of God walks among them. Can you imagine a prayer meeting like this? They're praying. This still happens today, by the way. In a prayer meeting, God, the Spirit of God walks among them. I'm going to use you, sorry. And says, James, but his name wasn't James, it was Saul. And he had a friend named Barnabas. He said, Saul, you're going to be a missionary for me. Do you believe God still needs missionaries to go reach the world? Do you believe that the work of God is not finished in our generation? It's going to be accomplished when God's people pray. Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth what? Laborers. We need to pray. Oh, to God that God would call laborers out of this church. That God would call preachers. That God would call missionaries. You say, is there something better about being a pastor or missionary? No, of course not. But I do not believe that we need fewer pastors, evangelists, missionaries today. If there's ever a time where we need more, it's today. And Jesus said to pray for the work to be expanded. The early church did that, and God did something. What an honor, what a privilege. My wife's sister and her husband took their youth group. He's a youth pastor. They took their youth group to a camp, a missions camp, that was sponsored by New Tribes Missions. Some of you may have heard of New Tribes Missions. And they went to this camp to encourage their teenagers to have a heart for missions. And they came back, and as they continued to pray, God didn't call any of their teenagers to missions. He called them. And so we sat down at Christmas, and with that whole side of the family, and they said, we have something to share with the whole family. And that God has called us to work with tribes in other parts of the world, probably eventually Papua New Guinea, Indonesia, somewhere like that. God still wants to call people. That's exciting. That's empowering. But listen, God is not just calling missionaries, but through prayer. If we will commit ourselves to pray, what do I pray for? I just pray down a list. No, Jesus said, pray for laborers. Pray for power. Pray for laborers. Pray that we'll reach the world. God is waiting to call me to reach my neighbor, my friend, my coworker, and you as well. And through that prayer, the power comes and the work of the ministry is expanded. It's exciting to be a part of the work of God. Why do some, I believe with all my heart, that why do some, many Christian young people, not all, but many Christian young people eventually walk away from the faith? Sometimes there's rebellion, sometimes there's family issues, there's all kinds of reasons, but one of the reasons for sure is they don't see anything real. They see religion, they see a regimen, they see a routine, but where's the power of God? Where's the power of God? And our vision ought to be, God, send your power. And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. Prayer invites the power of God. It expands the work of the ministry. Number three here, prayer brings unity to God's people. It brings unity to God's people. Acts chapter 4, look at verse number 31. And when they had prayed, we were here before. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And now look what happens. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Listen, we're not just commanded as a church to pray on our own. The church met, and how did they pray? You got it. They prayed together. They prayed together. I understand that sometimes that can be awkward as we learn to do that. It can make us sometimes a little bit uncomfortable to pray with somebody. And sometimes it's even harder to pray with somebody than just to pray privately. But we need both. And there is something unifying. Speaking of prayer, Jesus said that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. He also says that if two on earth agree as touching anything, I will hear them. We are called to pray together. and it brings a tremendous unity to the people of God. So this year, let our focus be a focus of prayer. The last thing I'll say about prayer is that prayer gives us a concern for the needs of others. Prayer gives us a concern for the needs of others. I was glad that my dad shared the need of the Headley family this morning, weren't you? You know how to pray. We ought to have concern for one another, right? I know we're New Englanders. And we are an independent group, are we not? I mean, we just are. We're independent. It goes way back to the Puritans, my goodness, and comes all the way down to the immigrants who came here that are our ancestors. We are an independent, hardy lot. But we are called to have love one for another and concern one for another. You know what prayer will do? It'll help us be concerned about the right things. I have to admit, there was a time in my Christian life when I was concerned about the wrong things. I was concerned about things people said, things people wore, music people listened to, all the rules. I was really concerned about all those things. I'm not saying that they have no place. Concerned about whether a person wore a tie to church or they wore jeans and a t-shirt. Those things used to concern me. But you know where I don't find that concern? Anywhere in the Bible. Like anywhere. Because people in our community are addicted to drugs. And people in our community are getting divorced. And people that we know right now in our midst are dealing with depression and discouragement and sickness and illness. And when we understand the needs of the people around us, we understand that we need to get concerned about the things that they are concerned about and the things that God is concerned about. And to pray with somebody, and to, I'll never forget a men's prayer meeting probably 3 years ago where I heard one of the men in this room pray, and it was just so eye-opening. And that person prayed for the drug addicts that they knew. They prayed for the struggling people. I'd never heard that person pray before. It spoke to my heart and said, what are we concerned about? What should we be praying for? We could go for another hour on prayer. And I only preach it because I don't stand before you as a great prayer warrior. I'm saying, God, make me a person of prayer. Please, this year, let our church be focused on prayer. Are you with me on that? Let's pray. But secondly, let's be a people of what? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Quickly now, go to Psalm 107. I won't take as much time on this point. We'll move through a lot of this. Go to Psalm 107. Great passage of Scripture. I put just one verse from Psalm 107 on your handout. But man, we ought to be a people of praise. We've taken a few of our Sunday night services for a few months, and we've really talked about praising the Lord. We've been in the Psalms, and we've studied that. If you are not able to come on Sunday nights, I'd encourage you to go on the website or go on iTunes and get the audio from those Sunday night messages about praising God. But I just want to share a few things with you about praise. Look at Psalm 107, and I'd ask you to do this. Read with me verse 8 out loud together. Ready? Begin. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Say that part again. Ready? Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Do you realize this morning that God is waiting to hear your praise? Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Would somebody out there praise the Lord this morning? Amen. Amen. You can say it. Glory to God. Anybody want to say hallelujah this morning? It's okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. The world is changing. Circumstances are changing around us. But one thing does not change, that the Lord inhabits the praise of His people. One thing doesn't change. No matter how unworthy I am, no matter how far away I am, no matter how discouraged I am, He is still worthy of praise. Why? Because of what He's done? Well, sure. But more importantly, because of who He is. He is still the God of all gods. He is still the high and mighty one. He is still the name above every name. And His name is Jesus. I shared with a Sunday school class a few weeks ago that every summer we try to get down to a big meeting at Solid Rock Baptist Church. in Berlin, New Jersey. It's a wonderful church. A little bit different than ours, and that's okay, but a Bible-based independent Baptist church. And when they know how to praise the Lord. I mean, man, and you get about, I don't know, 400 or 500 preachers there. Maybe not that many preachers, but they come with assistant pastors and church people. And somebody gets, in that room sings that song that we sang this morning, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. There are shouts and there are hands all over that 1,000-seat auditorium. And you know what? Some people might do something to make you a little uncomfortable. I heard a great message 2 weeks ago. My brother Aaron sent it to me from one of my favorite preachers. Is a guy named Tony Shirley from down in Marion, North Carolina. He pastors the New Manna Baptist Church. And he was telling the story about their choir. And they're singing. And they're very traditional, probably even more traditional music than us. But he says he's got a guy in his church. And this guy in his church he's just really happy that he knows Jesus. I mean, he's just excited about it. For years and years, this guy grew up in a church that told him, as some of you grew up in a church that told you that you had to worry, you had to wonder if you had lost your salvation, if you had been good enough to keep it. But one day he was shown from the Bible that he could know for sure that whosoever believeth on him hath everlasting life, and it's never going to end, it's never going away. And he's just never gotten over that. Never. And you get up there and you sing it as well with my soul, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Do you know what that brother might just do in that service? He might just praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And Pastor Shirley said this. He said, sometimes, and this is a much bigger auditorium, he said, sometimes he looks out and some happy little visitor walked in, and guess who they happened to sit next to? Brother so-and-so. And Pastor Shirley said this. He said, you know what? I was tempted, or I might be tempted to say, hey, brother so-and-so, maybe we should talk about this. And then he said, I would never dare talk to him about that because he loves the Lord. He's praising God, and he's giving the glory to God. Now, I get it. There's propriety. There's all that stuff. But let us never be a stuffy place. Let us be a place where God comes, and he is pleased with our praises. And for some of you, that may just be singing a little bit louder. For others, it may be a lifted hand. For others, it may be praise the Lord, glory to God. But you do not find silent praise in the scriptures. It just isn't a thing. I'm telling you. It's just not a thing. It's visible. It's vocal. In the Old Testament, they were called to shout to the Lord their God. Because he's worthy. Is he worthy? Would anybody like to praise the Lord this morning? It's okay. He's worthy. I mean, glory to God. I mean, he is the high and lofty one. He is worthy. I'm not going to try to create something, but I'm just going to say this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Be a place of praise. And now, I'm not reprimanding anybody on, well, you should say this in church, you should say that in church. I'm not doing that. But I'm saying this. This year, I want to see our music get even better for the glory of God. How many of you enjoy the music at our church? You love to come and sing. Praise the Lord. It's great. I want to say, God, give us... How many of you liked it when Travis played that saxophone at Christmas? All right? Travis is supposed to be working on How Great Is Our God on the saxophone. All right? That's a great song for this. How's it coming, Trav? It's coming good? Good, great. About as good. Listen, let's be a place of praise. I want to see... we're going to put a few more... We're not going to have a regular choir, but we're going to put some more special choirs together for different occasions. And if we could get as many voices as we had for Christmas a few times a year, man, we could do some awesome praise to the glory of God, could we not? I mean, but it's not about a pastor having a vision. It's about a church saying we're going to be a people of prayer and we're going to be a people of praise. Why? Well, because praise, here's how it works. We could read all of Psalm 107, but I write the outline out. If I follow the outline, it's like a 2-hour sermon, so I'm trying to make it a 40-minute sermon, all right? We're going to look at like all these scriptures, but obviously that ship has sailed. Here's the points, and you can study it out. Ready? The bigger God becomes in our eyes, you ready for this? Oh, you got it. The smaller our problems become. Why is it so good to praise the Lord? Because the bigger he is, my goodness, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine, as the old gospel song went. So my money needs are really not a problem when I think about how big my God is. He's the great healer. He has created every single part of my body, and he is going to give me a brand new, restored, 100% perfect body in the new day. So when I praise him for that, my physical problems aren't as big anymore. I'm not saying our problems aren't significant. I'm not saying our problems aren't struggles, but what I'm saying is this. A proper praise for God puts it all in perspective. The bigger God gets, the smaller our problems get. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you know in that Psalm 107, multiple times, if you're still there, you can look at it in verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. You can look at it in verse number 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. You can look at it in verse number 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. You can look at it down at verse number 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. He desires our praise. And the bigger God becomes, the smaller our problems become. How about this one? Number 2, praise silences the voice of doubt. Praise silences the voice of doubt. David said in your notes, I have been young, now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. What time I am afraid, David said, I will trust in thee. And over again, he describes God as a rock, as a fortress, as being in a high place. And he just gives God praise. When does he do that? In times of doubt and fear. In times of uncertainty. It's an anchor to the soul to praise the Lord for who he is. An unchanging rock in a troubled world. We sang that song, I believe it was last week. Jesus is a rock in a weary land. And praise silences the voice, the creeping voice of doubt that comes into our ear. Thirdly, in the form of thankfulness, it calms our stress. How many of you would agree that we live in a stressed out world? How many of you got a little stressed out this week? My hand's up. Okay. And some of you didn't raise your hand. And that's okay. Because you hate raising your hand. You hate it when I ask you to do it. So that's cool. Now, stress, there are articles written all about it, classes to alleviate it. Notice this verse. This scripture is really important. He's going to give thanks, but look what he says. You talk about a stress relief, a perspective of thankfulness that'll calm your spirit down. Psalm 100, 3 through 5. Know ye, the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. It's in the notes if you're looking for it still. It's right under that third point if you haven't found it in your Bible. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and what? Not we ourselves. Guess who's not making your life? Well, guess who's not supposed to be making your life? You and me. Deborah said at the ladies' conference yesterday, they had a question and answer time. And it was, what would your older self, one of the questions is, what would your older self say to your younger self? Have you heard those kind of things before? I have. What would your older self, that's you now, if you're just catching on to this, what would your older self say to your younger self? What advice would you give yourself? Now, I haven't matured to that many years. Some of you are much more advanced in that department than I could only hope to attain to that. But I know in my life, and some that I'm still working on, if I could say to myself maybe 10 years ago, just out of college, just married, just starting out, one thing I would say is, don't try to force an agenda. Don't have your mind made up and try to charge into it and make things happen that aren't in God's timing. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Not only in creation, but in the working out of the Christian life, we are a work in progress. And it is God who is the master builder. But when we lose sight of thankfulness, look how the verse ends, or the passage ends. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Now look at verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. God has a plan. God has a place He's taking us. God is in control. And sometimes when we get stressed and we get overwhelmed, it'll do us good just to say, God, thank You for being so good to me. Thank You for praise. Thank You for who You are. Thank You for working in my life. Thank You that You have a plan, not just for my today, but for my tomorrow. And then finally, thankfulness calms our stress. And then fourthly here, as we think about praise, worship fills the void in our soul. All people worship something. You realize that, right? C.S. Lewis talked a lot about the fact that all men and women are created to be worshipers. We worship something. That's why people run to this, to that, to relationships, to careers, to vacations, to hobbies, to fads, to diets, to this, to that, to this, to that, to that, looking to add some meaning, add something. And the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. The worship of God fills the void. It gives the meaning that we're looking for. Let's be a people of prayer, and then let's be a people of what? And then finally, let's be a people of people. Let's be people, huh? How about it? You say, I'm not a people person. Uh-oh, I will not ask for a show of hands on that one. I'm not a people person. Aren't you thankful that Jesus was a people person? Now, if you mean by that, I'm not the life of the party, well, that's another thing altogether. We're not saying be an extrovert. We're saying what Jesus said. Here's how all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have what? Love one for another. He said the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve. So in one sense or another, all of us are called to be people. How do we do that? How do we do it? Well, pretty simple. Be an encourager. Be an encourager. The scripture I was going to take you to is the story of the Thessalonian church. The Thessalonians, the Bible says that God had changed their lives so much. Actually, that's my second one. Be an encourager is 1 Thessalonians 5, I'm sorry, where it says, it teaches us to support the weak and to care for others. If we're going to be people, who are we? Who is it? Our focus has to be the people around us, people that are hurting, people that are struggling. Have you heard the people that are rude to us, people that we don't like? Have you heard the statement, hurting people what? Have you heard that before? Somebody heard it. Somebody said it. Hurting people hurt people. There's a lot of truth in that. People all around us are struggling, and as Christians, we are called to say, this person needs the love of Christ. That person needs the love of Christ. Who will you be a people person to? Be an encourager. But then what I was going to say a minute ago is be an example. This is how your focus can be on people. You can be an encourager, but you can be an example. That's the Thessalonian church. People had heard about their love for Jesus, and it says that it had sounded out everywhere. Everyone all around, not their community, but that region of the world, had heard about how the Thessalonians love following Jesus. You and I can be that for one another, can we not? And that leads us to the last. Be an evangelist. Do you remember where we began? Because the church emphasized the things God emphasized. Prayer, the praise of God, and reaching people. It says that the Lord added to the church how often? daily such as should be saved. Reach people. One of the, if a local church is a place of prayer, if it's a place of praise, and if it's a place that loves people, do you know what? Your friends and neighbors will be attracted to what they find here. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ and the family of God is an attractive thing. Even people, I've heard people even say this, that even people who do not want to believe in Christ, I read an article years ago by someone who'd been to a church. She was a doubter. She did not believe the gospel. And she went to this church and she said, no wonder people come here. The people love each other. They're happy. And she described a thriving, healthy local church. We ought to have a place where we can say to a friend, listen, you got to come and see what's going on at my church. You got to meet some of the people there. You've got to hear the message. You've got to hear the songs. It's like nothing you've ever been to. You're in for a great surprise. Don't ever let this world beat us down to where we lose the glory and the wonder of what it is to be a part of the family of God. And to say, God, through our prayer, through our praise, let us reach more. Let us build the family of God that we have and let us see it grow and see it abound. But listen, a pastor can't make that happen. A deacon can't make that happen. Church officers, Sunday school teachers can't even make that happen. Only the whole body can make that happen. Prayer, praise, and people. Listen, if you're here today and you're like what I described, you say, man, that does sound really good. Purpose for life, love. We want to invite you to be a part of that. It's not because of anything that makes us a great group of people. It's all because of Jesus and who he is. He's the one that gets the glory for that. If any church is going to be a Bible church, it's going to be because Jesus gave himself for us and that he makes that happen. And the common denominator that we all have with one with another, the common bond that unites us, is that Jesus Christ gave up all of his rightful inheritance, all his glory in heaven. He gave that up to come to earth, to be like us, to die for our sins, to rise from the dead, and he offers us eternal life. We don't deserve it. You say, well, I couldn't be a part of a church like that because church is for good people. No, church is for bad people, sometimes really bad people. Can I get a witness there? Church is for people that are broken. Church is for people that have messed up. Church is a place where sinners find salvation in the Savior Jesus Christ. Have you found that salvation in Jesus? Have you repented of your sin? Have you said, I admit I'm a sinner. I do believe Jesus died for me. And I put my trust in him as my Savior. Has there ever been a time in life where you've done that personally? Because that's where it all begins. That's the starting point. And everything we've talked about today, this wonderful experience in the family of God, flows out of that relationship with Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.